ABC Radio Australia.
A campaign opposing aspects of one of Papua New Guinea's largest gold mining project has stepped up a level with the filing of an official legal complaint. A coalition of community and church groups are claiming that the Wafi-Golpu joint venture impinges on human rights and is in breach of OECD guidelines. As Nick Fogarty reports, it's an avenue that's previously had success for other Pacific communities in similar situations.
The 54-page complaint against Newcrest Mining and Harmony Gold Australia has been filed with the Australian National Contact Point for Responsible Business Conduct, which aims to promote the OECD guidelines for multinational enterprises. It lists 10 failures by the joint venture companies, including the failure to avoid contributing to adverse human rights impacts and failure to respect the right to free, prior and informed consent. Peter Bossip is the Executive Director of CELCOR, the PNG-based community legal centre that's lodged the complaint.
Communities, they have the right. It's the customary right. They need to give consent. The companies or the developers and the state cannot force people to forgo their livelihoods.
The Wafi-Golpu project, based 65 kilometres southwest of Leh in Morobe province, is worth an estimated $5.4 billion. Controversy around the project is centred on two main aspects. Firstly, the decision to use Deep Sea Tailings Placement, or DSTP, which will involve the discharge of the mine's waste directly into the ocean at Huon Gulf. And secondly, the decision to run the pipe carrying that waste directly through Leh, on a route that passes two hospitals and an active earthquake fault line. The project's environmental impact statement says it passes the test, but an independent expert commissioned by PNG's Environmental Authority has raised questions. The review by Professor Ralph Mana hasn't been made public. Emily Mitchell is the Research Director at Jubilee Australia, one of the organisations involved in the community campaign.
There are so many areas that this project is just going to be an ecological disaster, is the words that he's used. Given the nature of his criticism today, it doesn't appear that those concerns have been addressed.
In a statement to Pacific Beat, Newcrest says the joint venture has consulted extensively and directly with local communities and stakeholders since 2016, including coastal communities along the Huon Gulf, to explain DSTP, present comprehensive study outcomes in a transparent and accessible way, and understand and address communities' feedback, aspirations and concerns. It says that local community feedback has been supportive. Last week, Newcrest held its AGM, where shareholder and Huon Gulf villager Yotham Israel Kaleno asked the board if Newcrest would halt all approvals and development until a negotiation and consent process is reached. This was Chairman Peter Tomsett's response.
I think it's fair to say that we've done a lot of engineering over the years, done a lot of community consultation. We've done evaluation of numerous land-based options and have come up with deep sea tailings disposal as the preferred option.
But CELCOR's Peter Bossip says there's a double standard in the environmental care being shown.
In Australia, if we look at the mine waste management practice, not even a single minute or second the tailings will be discharged into the waters or ocean in Australia. There is a very strict guideline as to how the waste, mine waste or tailings should be managed. If that is the principle that is applied in Australia, why can't the Australian company do the same to the PNG? PNG is not a dumping ground. PNG is not a dumping ground. An Australian company, if they want to, you know, conduct mining operations in PNG, they must follow the same law of waste management that is practiced in Australia. They must do the same to PNG.
Yotham Israel Kaleno, who's been heavily involved in the community campaign, says the PNG government also has a lot of work to do to help the communities through the process.
In the context of Papua New Guinea, almost 80 to 90% of the land and the water territories are customarily owned. So if someone is a governor or a member of a parliament or a prime minister, they are not necessarily the owner of the resource. So yes, we have the government there, but they can only do as much as what they can do. But it would be, our standpoint is for the government to improve their regulatory frameworks and get on par with modern management systems of the circular economy, where you don't just talk about money, but you have to respect the environment and the human life.
In terms of the legal complaint process, Emily Mitchell says she's got faith in the outcome if the complaint's accepted by the Australian National Contact Point.
And if it is accepted, then what's really wonderful about the National Contact Point process is that it facilitates a mediation between the companies and the complainant. The organisations that have submitted the complaint have a list of remedies that we are seeking as part of that complaint. The most significant one is that the companies undertake to abandon their current plans to pursue deep sea tailings placement at Wigang Village and to develop a new tailings management plan that doesn't involve a pipeline through the city of Leigh and an outfall at Wigang Village.
It's an outcome they hope will be comparable to one achieved last year through the AusNCP, where Bougainville communities forced Rio Tinto to commit to funding an independent environmental and human rights impact assessment of its former Pangina mine.